He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we certainly give you thanks for this day, for our opportunity to be here, to worship you and to celebrate the greatest day in the church year, Easter. Lord, we thank you for your life, for your death, and your resurrection that promises us forgiveness and life. We ask now that as we turn to your word, that you would open our hearts to receive that word, and Lord, that you would block out a few of the distractions that might be going on in our minds right now, so that we can simply sit at your feet and listen to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I remember very vividly in the year 2000 when I loaded up my family and headed off to the seminary. We had my dad's Dodge diesel pickup with the cattle trailer crammed packed full. We had my little Ford Ranger putting along, pulling a little U-Haul behind it. We had our Chevrolet Lumina with the back seat full of all of our clothes. Just enough space to get people to sit in the places we needed to sit. And I thought about that, and you know, I think we did the Beverly Hillbillies proud that day. I sense we sort of looked like them, headed out from the small town of Cisco, Texas to St. Louis, Missouri. But it was an adventure. It was something that was going to be completely new for us. I mean, we'd moved a little bit into some different houses in Cisco, but nothing like this. It was certainly different for me as I went to my first class of Greek. It had been a little over 10 years since I'd sat in a classroom setting, not to mention the fact that I had to take a test again. I mean, it was somewhat of a shock for me. It was definitely a certain change. But those 5 years went by pretty quick. I spent one of them right here in Hamilton, Texas for my vicarage year. After we returned, we came with my wife and three boys, and we returned with my wife and three boys and one girl that was born here. And when I got back to the seminary that final year, I will have to say that I had my eyes on the end. That's about all I could think about, was the end, when I would graduate, when I would be placed into a church. But I will also have to say that that was kind of frightening the closer it got, because all of a sudden now I was going to have to put into practice some of those things that I hopefully learned along the way. Eventually, in May of 2005, my seminary days were over. They came to an end and I was placed into a church. Maybe some of you have experienced a similar circumstance, or at least something where something has come to an end for you. Maybe it was a school situation. Maybe it's this school year that some of you are waiting to come to an end. Maybe it's been a pregnancy, or possibly your first home that you bought, the closing of that home. Maybe it's been just a project you've been working on, or something else that you could see the end coming and you couldn't wait for it. And finally, when that day came, you almost just had to take in this big sigh of relief. As we have been going through Lent this year, we've looked at the cross, we've looked at Jeremiah in relation to some of the same things that went on for Jesus. We've also hopefully related those to our life as well. You know, Jeremiah certainly had a calling from God. It came straight from Yahweh. He said, I want you to go to the Israelite people and you have to proclaim to them the message of repentance, turning from their evil ways and come back to me. That was Jeremiah's calling directly from God. We know that Jesus had that calling to leave the perfect place of heaven, to come into our world, to walk alongside of us, to ultimately go to the cross. But he had that calling to come into this life and proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is near. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but we as Christians have that same calling on our lives. We are called to proclaim the life-saving message of Jesus Christ to the world. The only problem is it brings up another aspect of the cross that sometimes we don't think about, and that cross was a burden. As we look at Jeremiah and think about Jeremiah, it certainly was a burden for him because the message that he proclaimed to the people, they didn't want to hear. In fact, we saw that in Jeremiah that when he's proclaiming this message and the people, actually the leaders, get together and they want to kill him. We know that's exactly what happened to Jesus as he comes into the world and as he starts performing miracles and his notoriety grows. What do the people want to do? And the chief priests, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the religious people of the time, they want to kill him. And eventually they do. Now, we may not experience that in our own personal lives today, but there are people around the world who do experience that, whose lives are threatened and who are killed for the sake of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. But in a different way, ours happens. Because there are a lot of people sometimes that don't want to hear what we have to say. They don't want to hear the truth of God's Word. They don't want anything to do with anything that has any sort of moral or biblical implication to it. And that's the burden that we as Christians carry in this world. We know the cause of it. It's sin. The cause of the cross is our sin. When Adam and Eve ate the fruit in the garden, that sin was transferred on to every single person that has ever lived and ever will live. And Jesus, He took that ultimate burden to the cross, to die for us, to take the punishment that we do not deserve. On Good Friday, as Jesus proclaims those words, "It is finished." What is finished? The work of our salvation. When He proclaims those words, we have the end of the cross. Now, to some of the people standing nearby, it was the end of Jesus for all they knew. But at least we know that we had the end of the cross, but the end of the cross means something else for us as Christians as well. And I'm going to say, even in our own little circumstances, if we think back maybe to the beginning of the message, whatever you were thinking about that came to an end, was it really the end? As I think back to my seminary days, yes, certainly, and thankfully, those days came to an end. But it really wasn't the end. It was really the beginning of something greater and bigger than I could ever imagine. I still learn something every single day. But wow, what an incredible task God has placed me to do. I will say that I've probably never been happier in my life. This is something that I really enjoy to do. And if you would have told me that when I started Greek in 2000, I would have said, "You're probably crazy." But this is great. To be able to be with God's people and to proclaim His message and work together in a community of believers and go out into the world to tell others. And I'm going to say that maybe your experience has been the same. Whether it was the end of a pregnancy, you have this wonderful baby. Whether it's the closing of the first house, now you have the home to live in, right? And whatever the case may be, whatever it was that seemed to come to an end, there was something beyond that. And I'm going to say, even in the times that you think you're glad it came to an end because it was a horrible circumstance or it was something that wasn't fun at all, you can look back on that and say, wow, God was working. What an incredible God we have. You know, Jeremiah, even in the midst of these harsh words, that Jeremiah had for God's people, there was something greater yet to come. In our Old Testament reading for today in Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 7, it says, the priest and... Yeah, let me see here. I'm in the wrong chapter. It's 33, isn't it? Sorry about that. Yeah, 33. Jeremiah 33. I looked down and said, no, that's not right. It says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, and at the time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, and the Levitical priest shall never lack a man in my presence to offer burnt offerings, to burn grain offerings, and to make sacrifices forever. The message that Jeremiah went to proclaim to the Israelite people was to turn from their evil ways. And if you turn from your evil ways, the Lord will relent. Well, they didn't turn from their evil ways. And they found themselves in the Babylonian captivity, away from their home in Jerusalem. And what Jeremiah is proclaiming here, the words to the Israelite people, is that all of this is going to be restored again one day. And you will never lack someone in the temple. You will never lack the priest in the temple offering the sacrifices. There will always be someone on David's throne. And I tell you, that was some wonderful news, some wonderful words for those Israelite people to hear. And he goes on to say, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night will not come at their appointed time, then also my covenant with David, my servant, may be broken, so that he shall not have a son to reign on his throne in my covenant with the Levitical priests, my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered and the saints of the sea cannot be measured, so I will multiply the offspring of David, my servant, and the Levitical priests who minister to me. What does Jeremiah say is the only way that this promise, this restoration of someone always being on the throne of David, what is the way that this can be broken? This is fascinating to me. If someone can alter and change when the sun comes up and when it goes down, that's the only way that God's covenant will not remain steadfast, as if some man can change the cycle of day and night. What's the answer to that? Impossible, right? Those were incredible words of hope to the Israelite people, knowing that the promise that God is making to them will remain steadfast. It will remain true. There's nothing that will be able to change that. Did you realize that's the promise he makes to us through his Son? His Son coming into this world, dying on the cross, being our substitute, taking away our sin and promising us eternal life. You see, the end of the cross is not the end. The end of the cross means holy and eternal life for each of us who believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Jesus came into the world. He became our substitute. He took all of our sins on himself and actually took the punishment that we deserve for our sinfulness. And he made it his own, giving us his righteousness, giving us forgiveness and the promise of eternal life. That's what Easter is. That's what the empty cross is. That's what the empty tomb is. The promise that we will always be with him forever. The only dilemma is we're still here. And we have to face some of those challenges that hit us in life. We have to face some of those struggles. But we face them knowing that He promises to be with us every step of the way. That's why He stepped down into our world, so that He would know what we experience, what we struggle with, our challenges. He walks alongside of us. And also, as we walk through these challenges in life, what are we to do as Christians? Walk along with others, proclaiming the life-saving message of Jesus Christ to the hurting world, being there, holding someone's hand, sitting with someone, sharing this hope that we have in the love of Jesus. That is what I pray that we here at St. John and as individual Christians can do for the remainder of our lives here on this earth. Be that light that God has called us to be in the world, pointing people to an empty cross, an empty tomb, which means life and eternal life and forgiveness for us. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.